Welcome to the Red Pill Sports Podcast, combating woke Inc.'s takeover of sports.
All right, break!
Red Pill Sports Podcast, sports done right.
All right, welcome to the Red Pill Sports Podcast. We're so thankful that you have joined us on this early Tuesday morning. Hope you had a wonderful Easter weekend, and we certainly did. We had two of our three children in church with us. We had a record crowd, probably best crowd we've had in probably 5 years. So it was really just a phenomenal weekend. You know, there's nothing better than being with your family and spending time with them, and then being reminded of the meaning of Easter, and that's the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the living hope that He provides. And I'm so thankful for you, so thankful that you are a ardent and faithful listener to the Red Pill Sports Podcast, and we're so thankful to have you. And got some great things coming down the pike for the podcast. Also, some other outlets that we're working on. We're working on a, can't really talk about it right now, but a website that you're really going to love, that you're going to get more, a lot more than just sports there. But tonight I'm going to do something that's probably quite a departure from what I normally do, and I'm actually going to talk about another program because as I thought about this, it just kept expanding, and I think I'm onto something here, and I just give me some space here to articulate it, and hopefully, you don't necessarily have to agree with it, but hopefully you will see where I'm coming from. So, as you well, I'll say as you well know, some of you may or may not know that tonight was two of the four games for to see about the women's. Now, the men's Final Four, and I'm talking about the NCAA basketball championships, the men's is already set. I believe it's Purdue, North Carolina, UConn, and Alabama. And so I believe it's Alabama and UConn, and then it is Purdue and North Carolina State. I think I said North Carolina State, who's not been, I don't think, had been back to the Final Four since Jim Valvano won it with Thurl Bailey and that team, 40 years ago. And of course, tragically, Jim Valvano died a few years later of cancer. Great, great coach, and beat Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler and that team. And what was that? That was in the 80s. Can't remember. Excuse me, 88, 86, something like that. Anyway, so we got North Carolina State. It's playing Purdue, UConn is playing Alabama, and that is your Final Four on the men's side. The women's side had eight teams left. You had two games tonight. You had USC playing UConn. This is women's. In Juju Smith, the real highly touted, and I wasn't that impressed with her, to be quite honest. I mean, she's good, but she wasn't. And I'm more interested in women's basketball than I've ever been, ever. And there's one reason, it's Caitlin Clark. And that's part of the story tonight. But the bigger story is Jason Whitlock. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. And then I'm going to go much broader about Jason Whitlock. And if you don't know who Jason Whitlock is, he has a podcast and a video program called Fearless. And it's on Blaze TV, but you also can pick it up on YouTube as well. Jason Whitlock was a longtime ESPN personality and was too conservative for them, so they fired him, or at least didn't renew his contract. And he's just blown up since then, doing super well, super conservative, and is fearless. And I'm going to give you my take on Jason Whitlock's future here in just a moment, especially after tonight's take that I, when I watched it, I was just blown away by it. So you had, going back to the women's side, you had LSU playing Iowa. I did not think that, well, let me back up. I knew it would be tough for Iowa, but one thing that happened with Iowa beat LSU tonight, one thing that, and I will be honest with you, I'm a huge LSU fan, but I was, and because I'm from there, but I want Caitlin Clark to win it all. I have from the beginning, for a lot of reasons, and I'll articulate some of that. I won't go back through it. You can go to some of the earlier, because I've done a bunch of shows about Caitlin Clark, and make no apologies about that, because I think she's probably the biggest story in sports in probably 40 years, probably since Bird Magic, to be quite honest. And I think we'll only continue, that legacy will continue to grow. And maybe we can talk about that later. But let me get back to, because I can't remember everybody that's playing. I know you had, tonight you had, I know you have North Carolina State playing South Carolina tomorrow night, and then you had USC playing UConn tonight. You had LSU playing Iowa. UConn beat USC. Iowa beat LSU. Caitlin Clark drops 41 points, 12 assists, and just was shooting the ball from the logo. I saw her hit like four shots from the logo. I mean, she's Seth Curry, Steph Curry, Seth. There's two of them. I guess it's Steph and Seth, right? I don't know. But, you know, the one plays for Golden State. I think that's Seth. I don't know. That didn't sound right. Steph, maybe. But, you know, shoots the ball from the logo and just crazy stuff. What's really strange is I noticed she shoots the ball, which is real, real rare. But she shoots the ball, especially on really long shots. She shoots the ball, and she's falling to one side. And I don't know if she compensates. And those of you that play basketball know that to shoot a ball, long or short, it's really important that your shoulders are lined up. You know, your feet are lined up, your head, your elbows. Everything's lined up toward the basket. But when she shoots the ball, many times, especially on longer shots, I've noticed that she's fallen, and usually it's to her left. But yet the ball is still true. It's one of the most and shoots the ball, the range, especially for a female, the range is just unbelievable. I mean, it's NBA-type range that she has. It's just she must have a lot of strength for not a really big girl. She's tall, but and I've seen a lot of really good women players this year. I think the women's game has really improved. Now the WNBA, I've never watched it. Don't think I will watch it till she's in there. But poor Haley Van Lith. Man, she got lit up tonight. I mean, there was no guarding Caitlin Clark. And she just got trucked. I mean, she just got lit up. And plus, she's just not fast enough, long enough to guard Caitlin Clark. I tell you who may be. I don't think she's quick enough, but she's long enough, and that is the young lady for UConn, Bucher, I believe is her name. And I mean, she scored like 30 points tonight. She's very good. But probably the best player I've seen in the women's game, and I'm not going to spend much more time because I know you want me to talk about this other stuff. I just wanted to kind of get this off. But watch the young lady. There's a point guard. I wish I had her name here in front of me. But there's a point guard for Middle Tennessee State. LSU played them. She is the quickest. She works on her outside game. And I can see someone like LSU, South Carolina, picking her up on the offseason. She is a force. And LSU had no answer for her, even though LSU ends up beating them. So let me get to Jason Whitlock's perfect take that he had tonight. I watched his show. And I said, I'm going to do a show about his show. And I thought, well, you can't do that. You can't get on here and talk about what Jason Whitlock talked about on his show. But if you get off of here right now and go watch his show, I won't be messed up about it because it was that good. It was, and I can give you the abbreviated version, the Cliff Notes, and you won't have to watch the whole thing. But that, you know, you do what you want to. But here's the thing, how he teased it was saying, you know, he started out by saying that Caitlin Clark is a generational, and she is not, she's a multi-generational talent. She is Larry Bird. She is Magic Johnson. She is Tiger Woods. There were two athletes. And I'm going to show you, it was brilliant how he did it, Jason Whitlock, how he did it. He said, you know, he said the game tonight, this is before the game, obviously, this is this afternoon. LSU, Angel Reese, is which is the main player for LSU, and are the biggest name. I think there's better players, but anyway. And then Iowa with Caitlin Clark. And he said, I think I'm going to have to pull for – He first talked about how Caitlin Clark, how much he followed her, how much he admired her, how she was a generational talent. And he likened her to Tiger Woods. But then he likened her to someone else. And it was a – so I thought, oh, here we go. Because it was a black player It was Tiger Woods, and I found it so fascinating. It may have been Magic Johnson, and he was saying, you know, these two players changed, you know, changed the game, and talked a lot about them. He said, and Caitlin Clark has caused me to watch women's basketball when I never did, but he said tonight I believe I'm going to have to pull for Angel Reese. Then he goes into Angel Reese. I'm like, man, I'm confused. Because he talked about how Caitlin Clark is a once-in-a-lifetime, at least a multi-generational talent. Doesn't come around very, very often at all. And I wish I could remember, but you can watch it, who the other one was besides Tiger Woods. And it was a black athlete. I remember that. And then he talked about Caitlin Clark was transformational as a talent, what she had done for women's basketball. And then he talks about Angel Reese, who is, you know, the most popular player for LSU. And they call her the Bayou Barbie. That's just kind of her, you know, marketing name. And he said, you know, he said, I'm going to have to talk, what did he call Caitlin Clark? Showtime Clark or something like that versus Bayou Barbie. And he said, but, you know, I'm gonna have to pull for Angel Reese, not Caitlin Clark. And he said, but it's not because Angel Reese is a great player. And I tend to actually agree with him because he said, you know, Angel Reese is not a great player. She's a good, really good post player. She doesn't shoot the ball that well outside, hardly at all. She averages double figures in points and rebounds, but she didn't handle the ball super well. She's great under the basket. But other than that, you know, that's about it. And that's LSU. LSU doesn't have, like, any super superstar. They got some really good players, but they're more of a team. But Not Tonight, Iowa was just phenomenal. Had two other players. Caitlin Clark had 41, then two other players. One had over 20, one had right at 20, 18, I think. Marshall was the one that I can't think of the other girl. So he said, you know, Angel Reese is not that impressive. There's nothing about her really impresses me. And, you know, she can be kind of a diva, and she gave Caitlin Clark a hard time in the championship game a year ago. And then tonight, Iowa got their revenge. But he said, it's not because of Caitlin Clark, it's not because of Angel Reese that I'm going to pull for LSU and for Angel Reese, but it's because of Kim Mulkey. And then he goes into the reason I'm going to pull for Kim Mulkey is because Kim Mulkey is so hated by the left, and she is so hated by women's basketball, the WNBA, because she's heterosexual, because she is very feminine, and the left hates that. And so then he goes into Dawn Staley, who is the head coach of South Carolina. And he, which I had forgotten about this, but he talks about last year when South Carolina was playing Iowa. And if you remember, Iowa upset them to go to the championship game against LSU, and said, you know, the NCAA women's basketball was all in on Dawn Staley. And Coach Bucher, who is the head coach of Iowa, said something to the effect that, man, rebounding against South Carolina is like being in a bar fight. And Dawn Staley takes that and, you know, basically said that was racist, calling us thugs, calling us used the word monkeys. They, you know, referring to us as monkeys and referring to us as thugs. And that's not what Iowa's coach said at all. She said they're super physical. It's like being in a bar fight to get a rebound. And we're going to have our work cut out for us. And so Dawn Staley turns around and makes this a racist thing. And so, you know, then fast forward a year later, well, there's no stories about a lot of the alleged stuff that's going on with Dawn Staley and her, and I'm using air quotes here, you can't see it, her personal life. But so this weekend, in the last 4 or 5 days, guess who trots out hit pieces on Kim Mulkey? It's the Washington Post, and it's the LA Times. The LA Times story was so bad that the LA Times had to retract it today and apologize. Now, they've already printed it, but they had to apologize for the story because it was basically about how UCLA was going to be playing these, you know, harlots from Louisiana, these, and you called them the something debutantes, which was some pornography inference that I'd never heard of. And Jason Whitlock is bringing all this out in his segment. And he said, so Dawn Staley, you know, who's had a lot of whispers going around in her locker room and has a lot of stuff that has been purported that's going on both with her players between one another, sexual stuff, and even with her herself. And yet she's not the one they're doing stories on. They're doing stories on Kim Mulkey because, and he says this, he says Don Staley dresses like a teenage boy. That's why the left hates Jason Whitlock so much, because he's just, he's brutal. And I thought about it today, and this is actually what I was going to talk about tonight, and I changed it after I saw Jason Whitlock's story, was watching Don Staley in these commercials is like, it would be like watching a toothache. She's not a very pleasant person. She's not a very attractive person. She's not a very happy person. She just looks like a person that's miserable. And, you know, and somebody said, well, are you saying that because she's black? No, Megan Rapinoe's the exact same way. She's like watching, you know, an earache, maybe not a toothache, but she's just so miserable looking, unhappy, masculine, just there's nothing attractive. And I don't mean from a eye-catching thing, just nothing that makes you want to watch her at all. It's like you don't want to buy the product she's touting. So I don't get it with these companies. I do get it. They're woke and they're trying to play the game, but even to their own demise. And so it is with Don Staley. Don Staley, with whomever it is, she does the Geico commercials, and I don't think it's Saban, and they're terrible. Not Geico, Aflac. And they are horrible. She's horrible at it. And, you know, I don't wish the lady, and I know she probably really hates me saying, using that term, but I don't, I want the lady to make millions of dollars. I want her to do well. I want, you know, if her team's the best team, for them to win. I'm never pulled for them. But, you know, don't be somebody that is so miserable and makes yourself a victim about everything. And that's what Jason Whitlock talks about. He said, you know, it's not Kim Mulkey, even though these stories, the LA Times story and the Washington Post story were so personal. They were about her dad and their relationship, and about her husband and their relationship. It was about Griner at Baylor and how, you know, that Kim Mulkey didn't come to her aid when she was, you know, in a prison in Russia, and how Kim Mulkey dared to tell the girls at Baylor she didn't want them messing around with each other, and she didn't want them coloring their hair purple. And it just pure hit pieces on somebody. Why? Because she dresses like a woman. She hails herself very feminine. She's a disciplinarian. She doesn't put up with a lot of bull. And she's not masculine. She doesn't dress like a teenage boy. So, and she doesn't have, that doesn't mean she didn't have a bunch of lesbians on her team now. Don't get it twisted. But she doesn't lean into that and promote that and advocate that garbage. And so that's why they hate her. And so Jason Whitlock said, look, you know, Caitlin Clark's my idol when it comes to athletes. She's the most interesting athlete in the world. But culturally, it's not Angel Reese, it's Kim Mulkey. That's why I got to pull for them. Now, at the end of the day, it was a no-win, because here's what the NCAA was, and I've already covered this, and then I'm going to move on to what I think about Jason Whitlock in a much higher plane, and I'm going to close out with this. But I told you this before, the NCAA, I think I called it incompetent or clueless, but it, you know, putting LSU against Caitlin Clark, Kim Mulkey, what they were doing, putting them in the same bracket, the same side of the bracket, not in the same bracket, but in the same side, so they would guarantee not to meet in the championship game, was their effort was to eliminate either Kim Mulkey, wasn't about Angel Reese, wasn't about Flo Williams, the other players for LSU, or Haley Van Lith. It was about Kim Mulkey, who is feminine, who is the antithesis of women's NCAA basketball and WNBA basketball. And so what they couldn't afford is having a heterosexual white star on, you know, versus the star heterosexual feminine white coach on the other team in the national championship. They could not have that. So they put them on the same side. LSU is a huge brand. In fact, if you'll look on a lot of commercials, people are wearing LSU because it's such a huge brand. It just is. And I know I'm an LSU fan, but it is. And their women's basketball team sells out arenas like Caitlin Clark does. Caitlin Clark sells them out by herself. LSU sells them out because people want to follow them. And a lot of that's Kim Mulkey. Some of that's Angel Reese and the other players. No doubt, Haley Van Lith. But so wouldn't you want at least give them opportunity by putting one on one side of the bracket, the other one on the other side of the bracket, so that you had LSU facing Caitlin Clark in the national championship game? But oh no, and tonight's game wasn't even that close. Iowa just, they just dominated. They were just on another level. So, you know, be that as it may. So anyway, that's far too much about women's NCAA basketball because you're probably very, very uninterested in that. Here's what I got out of this today, or this evening as I watched that, and I think is the bigger story, even than Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Kim Mulkey, Dawn Staley, the NCAA women's basketball, NBA, Ice Cube, all the stuff I've talked about. Is what can be lost in this is the take that Jason Whitlock had on that issue was a Rush-esque take. It was looking at something and seeing something in there that very few, if anybody else, would have seen and would have said. So with that being said, I want to make a prediction. I think there's a few things that has to happen. I think there's, you know, and I'll touch on a little bit. And he's even talked about it. But I think Jason Whitlock probably has to lose some weight. He has to get a little more pleasing to the eye. And when I say pleasing to the eye, I don't mean, you know, like a sex symbol or anything like that, but I mean just a little more aesthetically pleasing for YouTube and so forth. And he's talked about having to lose weight to go to the next level. But I'm going to tell you, you know, they've tried Buck Sexton and they've tried Clay Walker to take Rush's place. The next Rush Limbaugh is, in fact, I'm going to change the name of this. I'm going to change the name of this segment here tonight as Jason Whitlock is the next Rush Limbaugh. And I believe he can be. I believe he has the insight. He has the takes. You know, Rush loves sports. He talked, he would touch on sports, but his main thing was culture and politics. I think Jason Whitlock can actually do this and flip it. I think because sports is his world. I think he can take sports as his main segment and then build out the politics and the other. In fact, just do it the reverse of what Rush did. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. And I really believe, after hearing that take tonight, I was like, there's not many people have that take. That is a Rush take. And so, trust me on this. I just have this innate ability to see talent and see things like this that maybe not everybody can spot. But with losing weight, with some coaching, I would even say, look at the energy that Rush brings. think there's an energy that needs to level, that needs to go up. And I'm the same way. I don't have a natural high motor. I'm highly motivated. I'm highly energized every single day, but it doesn't come off in my voice. My voice is very lazy and lackadaisical sounding. And I recognize that. And it's something I have to work on all the time. And Jason Whitlock's a lot that way, just very, very chill, laid back. And so I think there's some things that he has to work on, but he has that innate, that talent, that insight that very few, if anyone else, has. And I think we've been waiting now for year, 18 months, for the new Rush to emerge. And I think the new Rush Limbaugh is Jason Whitlock. And so that's my take. It actually changed dramatically even as I was doing it, but I like the way it ended, and I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. Thank you for supporting Red River Auto, redriverauto.com, and My Purpose Publishing. If you or a loved one is wanting to get your book published, let us be your publisher. And we thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being a part of the Red Pill Sports Podcast. And we'll talk to you later. God bless.